You know, I was thinking this morning, it's not our lesson, but it was, this is only but for a moment. These things that we think are going to last forever, you know, this too shall pass. And soon all those little frets and worries that beset the ways of time, they're not going to be remembered. That's our hope. That's something we need to remember. The Lord is with us, and we have a hope. These things are only preparing us for the place that we're going. And we want to be joined unto him and be brought together with him and then have the wedding with the Lamb. And I just thank you, Lord, that of these truths that you have revealed to our heart. And something else he laid on my heart, because this has been happening a lot lately. I don't know if it's happening with you, but he said, don't be weary in well-doing. When you get the word of God and the Lord reveals something to you and somebody comes and they'll start saying that's not true, you know, he does not. This word is too precious to sit and argue about it with other people. We're not to argue the word of God. If they want to know, you speak the truth. If they don't want to know, just keep your mouth quiet. Another thing he had laid on my heart, that we are all the same in Christ. We are all equal. And I thought that's where he was going to lead me today, was over when a man walks in and he's all good and you think he's what he should be, then, oh, sit by me. But if he's not what you think he should be, don't sit by me. You're this and you're that. But see, the this and that's all of the old man. Because in Christ, there's neither male nor female nor Greek. There's all in Christ. And that's what you're going to be fought on. When you take your place in the heavenlies, that is the truth of who you really are. We are to be found in Christ in the heavenlies. And when you take your place there, you're going to be fought. One thing just this week was about the Sabbath. I've heard many people say, well, I can't this because it's my Sabbath. Well, I can never do anything. So every day is our Sabbath. In Christ, he is our rest. And I always think of that. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. He is my perfect rest, and we should have rest every day because it's all in him. If we didn't put our rest in him daily, moment by moment, how could we call him our Sabbath? We have to believe the finished work, what he's truly done. Otherwise, we're going to be doing things and putting our own works in there that, well, I can't go to work on this day because it's more holy than that day. And the Lord will grow us up. He will show us these things. All we have to do is say, Lord, is this really what you would have me to do? Because I've been there. I used to think I couldn't work on Sunday. I should be in the house of God. But the Lord showed me that every day is a day of rest. You go where I call you to go. You come into that place. Every day is put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to go over. I feel like I'm getting hoarse. Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus 32 because as I read this, I was like, wow, I remember Gene just brought out a message about the man. When Exodus chapter 32, this is when they made the goal. Aaron made that golden calf, and he really had to think about it because he carved it. And I always think of that one scripture says, not with a hammer nor a chisel, nothing. That's because the Lord God hath done the thing. When the people saw Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together with Aaron, and said unto him, up, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what this has become of him. Of who? They pointedly said, the man that brought us up out. Yes, the Lord did tell Moses what to do. He even told him, why do you come to me? Speak that these people can go forward. And that's what needs to happen today. If we just keep staying at this mountain, we just keep going around and around. He said, haven't you been at this place long enough? It's time to move. It's time to get up and move and take these blessings that have been given to us. And we don't have to mourn at the loss of all the things we're leaving behind. Look what we have set before us. And if you don't know what that is, you go in Ephesians chapter 1 and you begin to read how much you've been blessed with all, not part, all spiritual blessings in Christ, in the heavenlies. You've been forgiven. All these different things that he's done. This is where you come in to perfect rest. But you're going to be fought principalities and powers in high places. And these battles that we're going to have, we have to remember casting down every thought, every imagination that exalts itself against me. No, the knowledge of God. You don't fight the scripture one with another. If the Lord has shown you, rest in it. But I will say the Lord has always told me, always listen. Always go and check it out. That's just like when I said about the pearls on the neck. You know, it's like, I remember when I heard that. And when I seen that, I thought, this is, can't be real. I thought that was chains about their neck. It was beauty. But if they went to the concordance and they checked it out, they found out it was true. And it had to take piercing of the pearl to make it beautiful around her neck. And that's how he sees us. In Exodus 32, he said, we don't even know what's happened with this man that brought us up out of Egypt. Well, I want you to go back because it kind of amazed me. I was like, what? Exodus 14, when you go over there, Exodus 14 and verse 13, Moses said to the people, he had to say what he was told. He said, Moses told the people, fear you not, stand still and see. He didn't say the salvation and the deliverance of him. He said to see the salvation of the Lord, which he is going to show you today. Put no confidence in a man. These men, God has appointed preachers, teachers, evangelists, part of the body. But we want the truth. And you go back in Corinthians. Remember, they said they were of this one and I'm of this one. And it always took me back when people said, well, I'm of this meeting. And they put a name before them. And I'm of this meeting and put a name before them. It's like, no, we are Christians. We are in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our head. He has given us pastors and teachers, and you give them honor is due, but you worship the Lord your God. And when they were saying, where's this man? All this man could do was say what God had told him to say. And he said, the Lord is the one who's going to fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. It's the Lord who's going to take you over on dry ground. But see, they were looking not only at the one who was speaking to them. They're saying, this man, what's happened to this man? Well, we could be doing that today. Have you not heard people say, it's even written in the New Testament, where they say, well, Jesus has said he was coming. Everyone keeps preaching Jesus is coming. We don't even know what's happened with this, you know. How many years do you think this gone on and on and on? You know, what makes you so sure that he's coming today? So what do? They make their own idols. They set up something else they're going to worship. And it ought not to be. We ought to be worshiping the Lord our God. And that's what they eventually, if you look over, go to chapter 15. Go to the end of 14 first. Verse 29. The children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord, who did it? Did Moses do this? No, Moses was being led by God. And Moses was the one who said, why are you going to send me to do this? Who am I to go to these people? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? And I love those words where the Lord told him, he said, Moses, certainly I will be with thee. That's how he was going to do it. All the ability and the praise and the worship goes upon the Lord. And thank you, Moses, that you took time to intercede. Thank you, Moses, you took time to listen to God, to tell us where and what to do. But when Jesus left, has man forgotten today? We are to be living by faith, not by sight. We may not see, but we believe. And that's what they should have done. Moses went up to talk to God, to commune with him. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw with their own eyes the Egyptians were dead upon the seashore. Israel saw not only the people who were coming after them, they also saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Notice the place that Moses had. He's just serving the Lord his God. He's believing God. God loves this people. God said, I've heard their groaning. I have not just heard their cries. I have seen what they're going through. You know, he sees what we're going through. I believe that. He's watching everything. He knows the intents of every heart. I mean, with a mouth, you can have great swelling of words. You can say all the right things. But we want to make sure all those words are what our Lord is hearing. And is he pleased with it? Is it because of faith? Faith came by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. I don't think Moses would have done anything had the Lord not encouraged him first. He goes, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't do this. But he had to assure him, we're not talking about you. We're talking about my people in whom I love. And Moses, I love you. But Moses, I have to tell you what I tell you to do. Just do it and listen. Then when they cross over after they've seen all this and they saw the work that the Lord hath done, they believed the Lord and his servant. Now I want you to get into chapter 15. Then they began to sing. Let's talk about worship. Because when they were at the golden calf, they're worshiping, but they're not worshiping unto God. They're worshiping a golden calf, something that was carved and made of man. That was not what God wanted. They sang, then sang Moses. What? Moses is going to sing? Moses is the one who kept telling us, stand still. You'll see the salvation of the Lord. Moses and the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord they began to sing. They didn't sing it unto Moses. And they spake, saying, now listen to these are so powerful, because when we get into real worship in spirit and in truth, you're going to be worshiping him because you have a Sabbath, not because you took one day and made a Sabbath out of it. You're going to be thanking him for what baptism is, not with eye-pleasing men that look at me, I got baptized. That's only an outward showing of an inward work. Worship the Lord your God who took you down in death, brought you up in life, has given you an inheritance. And if so be that you suffer, and you're going to reign with him. But that said, you have to suffer with him. I will sing unto the Lord. Why? Why am I worshiping him? For he hath triumphed gloriously. When we begin to worship and praise, who are we glorifying? What we did or what he did? He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider that was coming after me, the chariots, all the strength of Pharaoh. He said, he triumphed gloriously over them. The horse and the rider, he threw them into the sea. The Lord, once again, These things are personal in our life when we go into the New Testament and Paul's gospel and see where we've died, we were buried, we came up in life. Worship thou him. Who do you say that I am? When you're worshiping me, are you saying he triumphed over sin and death and hell? Or are we saying, Lord, thank you for doing it, and I got to keep myself, and I've got to triumph, and I've got to. You won't triumph over anything unless it's through Christ and by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, because it's a gift of God. I have been hearing, even on your worst day, even on your worst day, and even on your best day, you cannot do anything of yourself. Without him, I am nothing. It says it right there, plain in the scripture. Without him, I'm nothing. He triumphed gloriously, the horse to the rider, he threw into the sea, or hath he thrown into the sea. That's past tense. The Lord, he's my strength. Why would they be worshiping him? The Lord is my strength. When they came to those waters, it didn't look like they could cross over. But he's my strength. He's the one who had the power to part the waters. He's the one who had the power to bring dry ground. And it is our Lord who has come forth and brought us on dry ground and to be able to walk on the resurrection ground. That's a solid ground. He's my strength. And he's my song, and he has become my salvation. The Lord has become these things. He is my God. Many little gods, even in this world today. And you have to let God show you what those little gods are. Gods are things and stuff and people and anything you think that is going to give you deliverance. Let's just say it like that. It's going to bring you peace. It's going to bring you joy. It's going to bring you the happiness you've been looking for. It's going to bring you the results that you've longed for in your life. No. Only if it is but he. He must be the ruler and doer of all things. He's become my salvation. He is my God. This is not of natural strength. This is a spiritual warfare that we're going to be going through, and we are. And our weapons are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. His weapons. We must believe who we are, and we must believe who is on our side. We have to know he's with us. And he will take us through. I know I got up and did a devotional and it said, you're going to come to a crossroad. And I went, oh, great. Here it comes again. But it was like, no. And immediately it said, when you get to that crossroad in your life, I want you to enjoy these journeys. We're on a journey with him. He is going to take us through everything. But he wants us to relax. Rest in the beloved. Rest and know, I got it, honey. I'm right here. I'm with you. And I'm not going to leave you. And I'm not going to forsake you. And we go, Lord, it sure felt like it. He says, you walk by faith and not by sight. You're not walking by feelings. You must fight the good fight. And that's the fight of faith. I will prepare him a habitation, and my Father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots, he had a big name too, didn't he? Pharaoh's chariots, his host that were with him, hath he cast into the sea. And his chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. You see, even in those days, there were people with higher names and higher places and all these things. Pharaoh's men. But even those captains were drowned. There was nothing they could put their confidence in. They had to believe it is finished. I'm going to take you where? Into the promised land. What is that? You know, everybody says, oh, I remember someone told me there was no giants in heavenly places. I go, really? Why do you say I thought of the beast of Ephesus? It's principalities and powers in high places. Are you taking your place there? You're going to have to learn how to stand. You're going to have to learn by God's grace. I have learned whatever state I'm in to be there with content. I love what he said to Timothy when Paul said, I don't know anybody, but Timothy's the man I choose because he's the only one who is going to care for your state. He didn't say your standing. He said your state. That's the part of us that's this. Our state has to grow to get in the place of our perfect provision, standing in Christ, in true holiness, in true. Everything is truth. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of a good report. If it's lovely, why is it lovely? Because you sure couldn't make yourself lovely. It all is going to point back to him, lovers of the race, in Philippians 4. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts, he hath cast them into the sea. His chosen captains, he even drowned them in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sink to the bottom just like a stone. A stone just sunk to the bottom. Lord, can you just see them worshiping? Lord, it's your right hand is become glorious in power. Thy right hand. Have we learned at his right hand there's power? Have we learned that at his right hand there are, what are men looking for today? Pleasures. No, at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He's become glorious in power. It's your right hand, O Lord. You have dashed in pieces the enemy. And in thy greatness and in your excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth your wrath, which consumed them just like stubble. I like looking down at verse 12, more about the right hand. You just stretched forth out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. Thou in your mercy has led forth your people. Who is that? That you have redeemed. Have you been redeemed? The Lord knows the way through the wilderness and all I have to do is follow. I heard that song on the way to church and it was, I've heard people say, the Lord will make a way for you. No, it says, I know the Lord will make a way for you. I know in whom I believed and I am persuaded. And where we don't have that we can't worship in that way, that's the things that concern us. But he will even take care of those things. The things that concern us, he will bring it into perfection. He wants us to believe in him. Say, Lord, I want to worship you more. I want to love you more. I want to know you as my strength. I want to know you as the power in my life. Not only the one that saved me from sin, from the penalty. Not just that. You are taking me through this life and you're delivering me from the very presence of sin. It's all around us. And you were also the one I worship because I have a promise. Your promise that you're going to deliver me out of the very presence of sin and the power of sin and the penalty of sin. That's the three P's in a pod. We could take one P out and eat it, but I'll tell you what, it's better to eat the whole thing. And you're going to know when you give out the word of God, I thought, well, what in the world happened? Ooh, why do I feel this way? Why is this happening, Lord? Just help me get through it. And he said, you swallowed it, and it's become bitter. Because when you eat it, it's sweet to your taste. Remember, he told him, he said, you need to take this book, and you need to eat it. Let it become a part of you. Let it become who you are. It is I that liveth. And he says, give me the book. He was told, this is what you need. But he said, give me the book and I will eat it. And he ate it and it became bitter. You know, when it becomes bitter, don't think of like, what happened? Because that's what I did. I go, well, what's going on now? Did I say something? No. You swallowed my word. You ate it. You're believing it. And you will. When God says you're going to have trials and tribulation, do you believe that? If you say yes, well, you are going to have trials and tribulation. But don't stay there and look at those things. Tribulation. How many of you have the perfect patience of anyone? I don't. Tribulation works patience. Patience is bringing experience in your life. And when you have experience, you're not ashamed. And you know what? You know it is the power of God that is being shed abroad. The very love of God is going to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Now, I could just say, well, God said I just need to love and I just this and I that. And I could put myself under law. Because I'm going to tell you, once you don't measure up, you're going to condemn yourself. You're going to judge. Why couldn't I do that? Because you're learning in whatever state you are in to be there with content. Paul had to learn these things. Jesus was our example. He showed us it is possible. Open not your mouth. He said it is possible. But it's so quick for us to speak. I'll tell you, I've had that happen so many times. You think, I just won't say nothing. And your mouth begins to speak. You see what a little member, what destruction one little tongue can do? One little tongue. Now you think about how many tongues are sitting right here in this class. You can go out and you can set forth the word of the gospel as the Lord leads you and guides you and wait on him. And then you begin to speak, but men don't want to hear. They're slow to hear. They're real quick to anger and they're real quick to speak. Let the Lord have his way. Let him work in all the saints what he's doing. It's a diamond with a diamond. Cutting each other. It's got to be this way. The Lord has allowed it. As I said last week, that was so real to me. I purposed this for you. I did it on purpose. Everything that happens to us, it is for God's purpose. And it's for us to grow up, to know him in a way that you have never known him. And I wrote down at the end of my notes, Remember, they were so quick to forget who had blessed them. They were so quick to forget when all their crops and everything was going really good. They're so soon to forget who did it. And he has to do what? A lot of people say you don't have to repent. That's not what my Bible says. Repent just means change your mind. Turn around. Go to the seven churches and look what he said. He's only doing it when you go in there and you read. And as you're studying the word of God, he said, no, remember from whence thou art fallen. It's not saying you didn't fall. It said, remember from what you have fallen from, your first love. Now repent. Just change your mind. Say, yes, Lord. Your chastening has worked. The word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's chastening you to do what? to come into the way I have called you to go. I'm instructing you what to do. I've got it right before you. You know, my grandson put a furnace in. If he didn't use the manual on how to do it, I wouldn't want that furnace in my house. I really wouldn't. It's the way the Lord has planned with every one of our lives. And I stopped this morning by just saying that he can do all things. But until he works it in you, don't murmur, don't complain. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. That means wait, recognize it, and ask the Lord, change it, Lord. Change me, not them. Let it begin with me. Change me, O Lord. And then you only have your eyes on other people. You have your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves you, and that's who you're going to worship to. You're going to know. When you get a lesson, you're going to know where it came from. You will. I guarantee you. If you're able to overcome something, you're going to know how you overcame that. I've overcame things in my own strength. Have you ever done that? But you'll fall right down. It won't work. It's going to come to naught. But when you go in his strength and in his power, there's going to be worshiping and glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. Let's all stand.